Test, test, test.
I don't want to do it.
Test, test, test.
Oh, send. Wait, I have to go. Stop.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Oremos Communications Internet Radio. This is Jane Aniceto.
Bebs Martinez.
Winnie Thompson.
From the Legion of Mary, Wilmington, Delaware, Curia, United States of America. We're broadcasting from St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church in Hocassin, Delaware. Today is July 26, 2019, the feast of St. Joachim and St. Anne. Yesterday, July 25th, was the feast day of St. James the Greater. Last Monday, July 22nd, was the feast day of St. Mary Magdalene. After we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, we will talk about these four saints and also share a reflection on last Sunday's gospel reading.
Atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Okay, now let us take a few moments to reflect on the July 21st gospel reading taken from the book of Luke, chapter 10, 38 to 42. Jesus visits the home of his friends, Martha and Mary. Martha runs around preparing food and serving our Lord, while her sister sits at his feet listening to him. Martha gets frustrated with the work she's doing and asks that Jesus tell Mary to help her with the serving. Jesus' response is somewhat surprising. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her. This can be somewhat confusing, because it seems that Martha is doing the right thing with her hospitality. When someone visits the home, there's an obligation to provide for them. Culturally, there's rules or norms or mores about hospitality. You drop what you do, you give them something to eat, you give them something to drink, and you pay attention to them, explains Father Daniel Schuster, priest of the Diocese of Green Bay. While Martha makes herself busy tending to her visitors' needs, Mary chooses to sit with Jesus. Martha gets kind of upset here, and she doesn't talk to her sister. She goes right to Jesus and says, "Don't you care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? She was burdened with many things," which is kind of important because when Jesus points to Mary as choosing the better part, he says, "There is need of only one thing." So we have got this contrast between them. Many things that we do and go on in our mind and our heart, kind of a scatteredness, a dizzy, an obligation, a ritual, contrasted with one thing and a choice for something that's better than anything that there is, says Father Schuster. It's a reminder of what our priorities should be in life. One of the reasons that the gospel is there is to challenge us with that. Rather than the things that we do and the way we fill the time, and the way that we try to please others, we might want to ask Jesus, "What would you like me like of me?" Along the way, we each have to make a choice. There is nothing and no one more important than God, says Father Schuster. Now let us talk about Saint Mary Magdalene. Saint Mary Magdalene is one of the greatest saints of the Bible and a legendary example of God's mercy and grace. The precise dates of her birth and death were unknown, but we do know she was present with Christ during his ministry, death, and resurrection. She is mentioned at least a dozen times in the Gospels. Mary Magdalene was one of the original Galilean, believed to be a Jewish woman who lived among the Gentiles. She was one of the many women who followed him in his itinerant ministry. Little can be said of her origins. She is characterized simply as a woman from whom seven demons had gone out. After this, she told several women she associated with, and these women also became followers. Mary Magdalene has long been regarded as a prostitute or sexually immoral in Western Christianity, but this is not supported in the scriptures. All four Gospels name Mary Magdalene during Jesus' ministry as part of a semi-permanent entourage who served Jesus and his disciples. Also among those women who followed Jesus to Golgotha and there witnessed his passion and death. Well, according to the Synoptic Gospels, all the male disciples fled. It was these women who remained faithful to the end and who went to his tomb on the third day, hoping to anoint his body. They found, instead, an empty tomb guarded by an angel who revealed that Jesus was raised from death. The women were charged to tell the disciples to meet the Lord back in Galilee. In the Gospels of John and Matthew, as well as the longer ending of Mark, Mary actually sees the risen Lord. Mary was present when Christ rose from the dead, visiting his tomb to anoint his body, only to find the stone rolled away and Christ very much alive, sitting at the place they laid him. According to John, Mary was weeping outside the tomb when she saw Jesus. She failed at first to recognize him until he addressed her with a single word, "Mary." "Rabboni, teacher," she cried. He instructed her to go to the disciples and tell them, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." She was the first witness to his resurrection. There is also a debate over if Mary Magdalene is the same unnamed woman, a sinner, who weeps and washes Jesus' feet with his hair in the Gospel of John. Scholars are skeptical this is the same person. Despite the scholarly dispute over her background, what she did in her subsequent life after meeting Jesus is much more significant. She was certainly a sinner whom Jesus saved, giving us an example of how no person is beyond the saving grace of God. After the death of Christ, a legend states that she remained among the early Christians. After 14 years, she was allegedly put into a boat by Jews, along with several other saints of the early church, and set adrift without sails or oars. The boat landed in southern France, where she spent the remaining years of her life living in solitude in a cave. It was Mary Magdalene who first proclaimed the good news of Christ's resurrection to the 12. Thus, she has often been called the apostle to the apostles. In 2016, Pope Francis elevated her memorial to a feast day on the Roman calendar, giving her the same level of celebration as the male apostles. Magdalene's feast day is July 22nd. She is the patroness of converts, repentant sinners, sexual temptations, pharmacists, tanners, and women, and many other places and causes.
This is some information about St. James the Greater. Nothing is known of St. James the Greater's early life, though it has been established that he is the son of Zebedee and Salome, and brother of John, the disciple. His birth date is also unknown, but he believed to have died in 4418. He is recognized as the patron saint of pilgrims and laborers, and his feast day is celebrated on July 25th. The title, the Greater, was added to St. James' name to help distinguish him from the Apostle James the Less, who is believed to have been shorter than James the Greater. James the Greater was one of Jesus' first disciples. It was known that he was present when Jesus Christ filled the net with fish in the Sea of Galilee. James was fishing with his father and John the Apostle when Jesus came to the shores of the Sea of Galilee and called for the fishermen who were unable to catch any fish that day to dip their nets in the water once again. When the fishermen followed Jesus' instruction, they found their nets full, and after emptying the fish on board, the boats nearly sank from their weight. Later, James was one of those three called by Jesus to witness his transfiguration. And when he and his brother wanted to call fire upon a Samaritan town, both were rebuked by Jesus. Following Christ's ascension, James spread the gospel across Israel and the Roman kingdom as well. He traveled and spread the word for nearly 40 years in Spain. It is said that one day, as he prayed, the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to him and asked him to build her a church, which he did. Later, James returned to Jerusalem, but was martyred for his faith by King Herod, who decapitated him. St. James the Greater is known as the first apostle to die. As he was not allowed to be buried following his martyrdom, he remains were taken to Compostela, Spain, by some of his followers who buried him. In the 9th century, his remains were discovered and moved to a tomb in Santiago de Compostela. Today, his remains can still be found in the Cathedral of Santiago. Because Santiago de Compostela is the most frequently visited place pilgrims migrate to following Rome and Jerusalem, Pope Leo declared it a shrine. St. James the Greater is often depicted as an old man dressed as a pilgrim and carrying his staff, gourd, and scallop shell. This is a prayer of St. James the Greater. O glorious Apostle St. James, who by reason of thy fervent and generous heart was chosen by Jesus to be a witness of his glory on Mount Tabor and of his agony in Gethsemane, thou, whose very name is a symbol of warfare and victory, obtain for us strength and consolation in the unending warfare of this life, that, having constantly and generously followed Jesus, we may be victors in the strife and deserve to receive the victor's crown in heaven. Amen.
Amen. Now this time, let us talk about Saints Joachim and Anne. Saint Joachim, a Galilean from the town of Nazareth, took Saint Anne, a native of Bethlehem, as his wife. They were both righteous and walked without reproach in all the commandments of the Lord. They lived for 20 years without offspring and made a vow to the Lord that if he granted them a child, they would dedicate it to the service of God. Saint Joachim and Anne are revered as the parents of the Virgin Mary and thus the grandparents of Jesus. Their names do not appear in Scripture. There is no mention of them in the four Gospels. What we know comes from pious stories passed on among the Christian faithful and tradition. There is some mention of them in a writing called the Gospel of James. It is an apocryphal writing from the 2nd century AD. That work describes Anne and Joachim as an older couple who suffered in the belief that their childless condition was a sign of divine displeasure. Joachim retreated to the desert to fast and pray about the matter, while Anne remained at home. Both of them received a message from an angel, assuring them that they would conceive a child. That child, Mary, would later be acclaimed as the Mother of God. Nevertheless, this writing was never allowed into the canon of the New Testament. We now know that the Gospel of James was not written by James, the relative of Jesus, despite its claim to be so authored. The early church fathers expressed skepticism about the Gospel of James in their writings. There are about 150 of the ancient manuscripts, many of which have different titles, but they do tell the same story that Mary was promised to Joachim and Anne by an angel, that she was consecrated to God, and that she remained a virgin all her life. With the rise of Marian devotion in the Middle Ages, there was a flurry of new interest in Joachim and Anne. Veneration of the parents of the Blessed Virgin Mary has a special providence in the piety and practice of the Eastern Church, both Orthodox and Catholic. The image of Joachim and Anne is one of the most popular Christian icons used in the East, and it is a favorite gift to at marriages. They are seen as the patron saints of holy marriages. There can be no doubt the Blessed Virgin Mary had holy, faithful parents who raised her with a love and devotion to God like none other except Jesus Christ himself. Joachim and Anne serve as role models for husband and wives, parents and grandparents, and both deserve to be honored and emulated for their devotion to God and Our Lady Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. Joachim and Mary are frequently depicted with a lamb or dove and holding the Virgin Mary as infant. The feast day for Joachim and Anne is on July 26. They are the patron saints of grandparents in the island of Puerto Rico.
The Catena Legionis from our Tessera. Who is she that comes forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in battle array? My soul glorifies the Lord.
My spirit rejoices in God my Savior.
He looks on his servant in her lowliness. Henceforth all ages will call me blessed.
The Almighty works marvels for me. Holy his name.
His mercy is from age to age on those who fear him.
He puts forth his arm in strength and scatters the proud-hearted.
He casts the mighty from their thrones and raises the lowly.
He fills the starving with good things, sends the rich away empty.
He protects Israel, his servant, remembering his mercy.
The mercy promised to our fathers, to Abraham and his sons forever.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Who is she that comes forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in battle array? Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator with the Father, you have been pleased to appoint the Most Blessed Virgin, your mother, to be our mother also and our mediatrix with you. Mercifully grant that whoever comes to you seeking your favors may rejoice to receive all of them through her.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We fly to your patronage, O Holy Mother of God. Despise not our prayers in our necessities, but ever deliver us from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Mary Immaculate, Mediatrix of all graces,
pray for us.
St. Michael, St. Gabriel, and St. Raphael,
pray for us.
All you heavenly powers, Mary's Legion of Angels,
pray for us.
St. John the Baptist,
pray for us.
St. Peter and Paul,
pray for us.
Confer, O Lord, on us,
who serve beneath the standard of Mary, that fullness of faith in you and trust in her, to which it is given to conquer the world. Grant us a lively faith, animated by charity, which will enable us to perform all our actions from the motive of pure love of you, and ever to see you and serve you in our neighbor, a faith firm and immovable as a rock, through which we shall rest tranquil and steadfast amid the crosses, toils, and disappointments of life, a courageous faith which will inspire us to undertake and carry out without hesitation great things for your glory and for the salvation of souls, a faith which will be our legion's pillar of fire to lead us forth united, to kindle everywhere the fires of divine love, to enlighten those who are in darkness and in the shadow of death, to inflame those who are lukewarm, to bring back life to those who are dead in sin, and which will guide our own feet in the way of peace, so that the battle of life over, our legion may reassemble without the loss of anyone in the kingdom of your love and glory. Amen. May the souls of our departed legionaries and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Here is a little bit of meditation about the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. Verses 18 to 23. That's the reading of today. The seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it. What is your opinion of the sower in this parable? Do you think he cares about where his seeds land? Perhaps you picture him randomly dropping seeds here and there without a thought. Some seeds land on the path, so be it. Some land on the rocky ground and don't take root, so be it. And some are lucky enough to land on rich soil where they will thrive, so be it. But if God is the farmer, who is planting that seed? Why would he decide to scatter his seeds on soil that won't bear fruit? What farmer would be so careless? God is not being careless. He just knows that we can't change. He knows we aren't stuck with being one type of soil our whole lives. He knows that any kind of soil can be tilled, reclaimed, and eventually bear fruit. So he scatters his seed on hearts that are hard and full of weeds. So what are some rocks and thorns that may be in the soil of our hearts? Commenting on this passage, Pope Francis suggested that rocky ground might be the superficial heart that doesn't have much soil. When we have rocks of laziness, he said, we don't go deep enough with the Lord because we fail to persevere. The thorns are vices, such as idolizing wealth and living only for ourselves and our possessions. According to St. Francis, if we cultivate these thorns, we choke God's growth within us. Francis went on to encourage us, when we bring our rocks and thorns to God in confession and prayer, Jesus, the good sower, will be glad to purify our hearts. Spend some time today asking God to show you the rocks and thorns in your life. what might be preventing you from fully hearing and understanding God's word? What might be keeping you from flourishing and bearing fruit for Him? Believe that God wants your heart to be rich soil. If you ask Him, He will pull out the weeds. And not only that, He will rain down His grace on you so that you can continue to bear fruit for Him. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for sending me your word and the grace to hear and understand it. Amen.
Amen.
Another reflection on the other reading is about Sabbath. The transfer of the obligations of worship and rest associated with the Jewish Sabbath to Sunday was a gradual process. Those obligations came under pressure as patterns of worship and work designed for an agricultural society were reshaped by the imperatives of industry. With plentiful cheap labor, factory owners saw no reason not to run their machinery 7 days a week. A storekeeper who did not open on Sunday risked losing business to someone who did. The 19th century movement to reclaim Sunday as a Sabbath was in many ways a form of resistance, a demand for a more human way of life. It assessed new challenges in a light of ancient tradition and developed a creative response. Admittedly, not all of its victories endured. Today, families drive through Ocean Grove on Sunday on their way to the beach. Yet, like our forebears, we also face powerful forces that would claim every moment of our days for production or consumption. We too are being called by the Spirit to discern different ways of reclaiming time and injecting new meaning into an old command, keep holy the Sabbath day.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. We welcome your comments. Send them via email to legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. I repeat, legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. We would like to acknowledge the following who have made this broadcast possible. Father Dillingham, pastor of the St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church in Hocassin, Delaware, United States of America. Tony McGinley of Oremus Communications. A.J. Laporto, who provided the music. And all the members of the Legion of Mary Wilmington Courier. Thank you, and please listen again next Friday at 3 p.m. God bless.